Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the program today. We're talking cars in the automotive industry in Nevada. Randy Thompson has the rundown.
Well, we'll be talking to our own click and clack, Wayne Frediani, who heads up the Nevada auto dealers.
And is he click or never mind?
Yeah, never mind.
And on the Power Pundit panel today, Mike Bosma, Ellie Lopez Bolin, and Chip Evans. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
With the change of seasons upon us, it's time to start thinking about re-roofing your commercial building before the weather changes. D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal has you covered with great products from Firestone. Remember, there's not just one product for every project. D&D and Firestone have the right product for your roof. The experts at D&D Roofing will give you a tailor-made roof for your building. For more information, call 685-5555 or go to the website ddroofing.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Wayne Frediani. He is the executive director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you.
You know, for those of us in the broadcasting industry, nobody knew how badly the automotive industry was doing in the crisis than broadcasters, because that was one of our biggest advertising segments, and it virtually disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is it's coming back. Tell us, what is the health of the auto industry in the state of Nevada, both in northern and southern Nevada these days?
The health of the industry is good. It's slow growth. We anticipate it's going to be slow growth, but it's headed in the right direction.
What do you say, 3-5%?
We lost, Sam, in 2008, 2009 during the recession. This state really was impacted, and we dropped in sales 54%. We have gained back about 14%. We're still off about 40%. The last 2 years, the growth is slow, but it's positive. It's in the right direction. We were up about 10% statewide last year. We're going to be up about 12-14% this year. So in 2 years, we'll have gained back about 14% of the market share, which we're still a long way from where we're going to be. We think that we're probably 2-3 years. What's stopping us? What's stopping us is...
I'm going to say, you can't ask your own questions.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
He's done this a few times, hasn't he?
What's stopping us in terms of growth is basically the unemployment situation. Jobs. Unemployed people can't buy vehicles, okay? And those people that are buying vehicles now are doing so because they've put it off to where the average age of a motor vehicle on Nevada's highways right now is about 11 years old. They've gotten to the point where they've repaired them about as long as they want to repair them, and now they're deciding to buy. And so you're seeing an increase in consumer confidence, you're seeing some pent-up demand, and you're seeing a need to replace their vehicles. And so that will continue to go forward in a positive way. The industry, I think, will really go nuts for about 4 years once we can get people back to work. There's tremendous pent-up demand out there, but you got to have jobs.
There was a challenge when the tsunami hit Japan, and then you had Sandy hitting the East Coast. Those are big events that can affect an economy. And how bad was the car industry? Has it now recovered pretty much from the Japanese tsunami?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Sandy will impact the East Coast sales, mm-hmm. but the other side of that, there's a negative in that the damage. The positive is it's going to put a lot of people to work, probably on the East Coast in terms of construction and rebuilding and that sort of thing. In terms of
Also, it'll also sell a lot of not necessarily new cars, but used cars.
Oh yeah, it's going to
the damage to.
Oh
all
yeah,
of
it's
going to
drive. It's going to drive car sales. I mean, the projection I saw yesterday was that we were going to probably end the year nationally at about 14.3 million new units, which is up about 40%. They now think it could be a little more like 14.8 just because of Sandy, because you got about 200,000 cars that are absolutely destroyed by mud, water, you name it. So it'll drive some sales there too as well.
Interesting, when you're talking about potentially within 3 years of going back to the kind of sales we saw before the recession, that would really mean that the Las Vegas Strip will be going full tilt, that Northern Nevada will be going full tilt. So it sounds to me like the Nevada auto industry is very optimistic that things are turning around.
It is, Sam. I don't think it'll go back to where we were 3 years ago. I don't think it's going to get there. But that was like an all-time high. But we're going in that direction. And I think that as we get employment, as people get back to work, the sales are gonna go. So it's good for our industry, but it's really good for the state. You're talking about sales tax revenue. That's very key. A lot of individuals don't realize how important this industry is to the economic vitality of this state. We're the second largest generator of sales tax next to gaming and entertainment when things are going well. But obviously, the state took a heck of a hit in 08, 09, and 10 because our sales plummeted so low.
Part of the challenge of the 08, 09 timeframe was that dealerships actually lost brands.
Yes.
And there was a lot of controversy around that, I remember at the time, of which dealership lost what kind of brand. Have we lost any more, and how has that sort of impacted the overall market?
Well, Randy, we lost 16 dealerships in 08 and 09.
Statewide.
We went from 116 stores to like 100. We've added two back, and they're basically Fiat stores, that one up here in Reno, two in Las Vegas. We haven't lost any more stores. They did thin out, those dealers. Some of those were part of the wind down of Chrysler and General Motors. Some were voluntary. Some people got out. And five of them, quite frankly, were brand elimination. We lost Saturn, Pontiac, Hummer, and Saab. And so five dealerships went away just because the brand went away.
Mm-hmm. But is that nationwide they went away, or is that just in Nevada?
No, that was nationwide, that brand.
Okay.
Those brands went away nationwide.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. More with Wayne Frediani when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is South Reno's new hotspot to meet friends and relax in our lounge. Sip handcrafted cocktails, chilled martinis, and world-class wines. Dine on sizzling signature fillets, ribeyes, and prime New York steaks. Fresh seafood and homemade desserts. North of the Summit Mall on South Virginia, the Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge.
To state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Wayne Frediani. He is the executive director of the Nevada Franchise Auto Dealers Association.
So you talked a little bit about how autos are essentially an economic indicator of the health of our state. And you're recovering, though, faster than the housing market, which is sort of a, you know, I guess, is it, can you kind of say that if one is leading, then another might follow? Do you feel that optimistic?
Overall, Randy, when housing slumps, car sales slump. And that happened. And it happened big time in Nevada. Right now, the housing crisis is improving, but it's still you know, a crisis. I think what's happening, though, is people are able to buy a car a little easier now than they are a house. The lenders have opened up a little bit. You've got the banks, the credit unions, the subprime companies have gotten back in the market with real favorable interest rates. And if people have a decent credit score, they can get financed. Whereas 4 years ago, I mean, you had to have a 600 or 700 to even get looked at. And so, you know, we couldn't sell a lot of cars because we couldn't get financing. That model's changed a little bit. So you have people with pent-up demand, you have financing available, and if you have a good credit score, you can get a vehicle pretty easily financed today.
As far as the profitability of these dealerships, is the real money in servicing and the used car industry rather than the new car industry?
It tends to drive that way. What's happened
is... Nice pun there. The
manufacturers have really cut dealer margins. A lot of people look at a window sticker and they see this high price and they think, you know, the dealers are making this tremendous amount of money on the sale. The manufacturers have cut new car dealer margins quite substantially. And so, yeah, Sam, the prime revenue sources are your parts, your service, and the used cars. But you do make money on new cars as well.
How are the CAFE standards going to change the car industry, the new CAFE standards?
Well,
for those that don't know, the mileage.
Yeah, the CAFE standards are going to be critical because it's going to end up with a lot of cars and trucks being downsized. They're going to aluminum in terms of framing, which is lighter and that nature. But the manufacturers are putting a lot of R&D money into internal combustion engines. You hear a lot about hybrids and fuel cells and electrics, and that's still going forward. But the bottom line is, we don't have the infrastructure to support that. California is probably leading that cause because what California does. But in terms of the country, hybrid sales last year were like 2.8% of the total sales. We don't have the infrastructure in place for electric cars. And so the manufacturers, in order to meet these standards, they're having to go to lighter body cars, but they are putting a lot more money into the internal combustion engine to get those standards up.
Is that part of the reason why we lost a Hummer and a Saab, because they're such heavy cars, or is that just sort of a transition of the market?
No, that was GM's model. You know, when they got in trouble bankruptcy-wise, they decided that, you know, that wasn't the products that they needed. The Saturn was a very popular product. It wasn't because it was bad quality. It was very popular. But what happened to GM, they had 8 name brands then. They decided they wanted to narrow themselves down to 4. Hummers were a good vehicle, but costly.
Oh, yeah.
Gas was high. Costly to run. Saab, the market wasn't that strong. Pontiac, the market had dropped off. The competition, obviously, between domestic and luxury cars is tremendous. And they just felt that they had too many brands that they were trying to market.
As you look at the auto companies and after the federal government bailout, do you see optimism that GM is going to finally get the government off of its back and pay the government back?
I think GM is going to try to start selling, you know, I mean, the government's going to try to start selling some of the stock. The problem is you got to get that stock up because there's still quite a bit of difference between what the stock is trading with today and what they got to get it to. You know, you're looking at, I think, a stock that was trading at $24, and they're looking at, you know, in order to get this whole thing done, bought, sold, government out of it, $53 a share. Well, that's a ways away. So, but I think you will see that trend. Yeah.
Part of the challenge you just touched on a little bit is the hybrid cars and the electric cars and the frustration of someone like me who is this, you know, fiscal conservative going, all right, so you're going to plug your car in at home and you're going to use a coal-fired power plant to then power your car instead of gasoline. So I don't really get the global impact of these kind of moves. How frustrating is it for some car dealers to kind of go, can we look at the bigger picture
well, we
not
are.
Just at this? And how hard is it? What a challenge
well,
is it
Well, it is.
For you guys?
It's hard. But, you know, the other thing is, quite frankly, Randy, the demand's not really there. So it's not that big a challenge because, I mean, we're still selling, you know, more internal combustion engines and we have demand for hybrids and electric vehicles at this point.
Well, and part of that, of course, is the fact that, you know, we're seeing the price of gasoline, at least here. And it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I was in Northern California last week. The average price of gas was around $4 and it was dropped down to somewhere in the $3.49 range
right.
in Northern Nevada, which seems kind of bizarre as that's where the, you know, they're getting the oil from.
Right.
But how do you think, and how do your guys in Nevada think, that this shale oil boom is going to affect the auto industry in this country? Because for electric cars and renewables to be, you know, in demand, gasoline needs to be at $10 a gallon, not at $2 a gallon. So how does this potential?
Personally, Sam, I think, you know, there'll still continue to be the drive for electric and hybrids. But I think 50 years from now, we'll still be running on fossil fuels for most of our motor vehicles. I just think that's reality. And just what you're saying is one of the reasons. We've been trying to get independent in this country for how many years? If we can now start getting our own oil and refine it at a cheaper rate, where's going to be the push? I mean, yeah, we want to clean the environment, and the cars are better than they've ever been in terms of the emissions, but like you just said, I mean, if gas can lower, if they can find the gas that they're drilling for, we'll be on fossil fuels for a while.
I think
you're in my lifetime. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's in the near future. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks, Wayne, right after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As you can see, the bay windows provide beautiful morning light.
Mind if we take a seat, get a feel for it?
Please make yourselves at home.
Grab a seat, everyone.
Honey, did you have the roof muffler?
Nope, I had the usual.
There's stainless appliances.
The simple joy of a McDonald's morning. Start the day right with a fresh cracked egg, sizzly sausage and melty cheese, and a sausage McMuffin with egg. Now get two for just $3.
Really? You guys started without me again?
Toyota Black Friday sales event has been extended. During this event, get great deals on your favorite Toyota models. Like a lease of $169 a month on a 2013 Corolla. And get $1,000 lease bonus cash on Corolla or Camry. Or get 0% APR for 60 months on 7 of your favorite Toyotas. Or $3,500 cash back on a new Tundra, the truck that pulled the space shuttle. But don't wait. The Toyota Black Friday sales event ends soon. Toyota.
Not too long ago, this was considered state-of-the-art rug cleaning. Today, this is the state-of-the-art, and the only one to offer it in Northern Nevada is the Carpet Tender. Thanks to an incredibly powerful vacuum and dusting system, the amount of dirt removed by this system before actual washing begins is amazing. Nothing comes close to the Carpet Tender rug washing plant. For unbeatable washing of all your area rugs, including Orientals, Navajos, and other heirloom rugs, call the Carpet Tender. Remember, it's the Carpet Tender for something less.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mike Bosma is here, CPA and host of Bosma on Business on News Talk 780 KOH. Ellie Lopez-Bolin, community activist. And Chip Evans, host of Get Real America. We could start our own radio show here.
Yeah, really. We have the
instant.
Talent. Yeah.
All right. So it's kind of interesting to me, Mike, that, you know, all the discussions in Congress about the fiscal cliff and all this, you know, we've got Simpson Bowles. We've got David Walker's plan. All good plans take 25, 30 years to carry out, but there's pain for everybody. But we're concerned about sequestration and the fact that if that goes through, there'll be massive cuts and massive tax increases. But if we actually come up with a plan, there's going to be tax increases and cuts no matter what. So we're really arguing about what?
Well, we're arguing about how soon the pain is going to start, and the sooner the pain starts, the less painful it is. Now, the reality is nobody wanted to talk about this during the election, but us on the financial side and the CPA side just knew that in order to balance the books, both are going to happen, and it's not just taxing the rich, it's taxing everybody. So unless you have a plan to get the economy going, which I haven't heard anything about. Unless you have a plan to get the economy going, you have to cut expenses and raise taxes to try and at least come to closer parity in the budget. And that's going to hurt. But the sooner the hurt, the better.
Ms. Lopez-Boland, would you agree?
Well, I do agree, and I think that we should tax everyone and not just a percentage of the population. To a degree, I think the candidates did try to address when they were running for office, but it was, we're going to create jobs. Well, where are those plans to create the jobs? As we know here in Nevada, we have the highest unemployment in the nation. So we need to also attack it from different angles.
Like what?
Well, everyone's saying starting jobs. You know, we're talking about the car industry earlier. We're talking about this. We're talking about housing. We are seeing more construction, thank God, but I don't think it's enough to take care of the 2 million people on unemployment right now in the nation.
But Sam, can we talk about the elephant in the room? And the elephant in the room is you're not going to start jobs while you're paying people not to work. They need to cut back the unemployment benefits. The jobs are out there. We have 600 businesses we represent. They can't find people. They're on unemployment. They don't want to come off unemployment to get a job to make $10 or $15 an hour. They want $25 an hour to come off of their $10 an hour unemployment. They either have to raise the standards to stay on unemployment to prove that they're seeking work and that they're not getting jobs, or they just need to shorten the period. That's the only way it's going to change.
But part of the fiscal cliff is that they actually stop the extended unemployment. And I don't know if that's really not an element people are talking about, but that's exactly what happened if the cliff did that.
Yeah. I can see we've got a weather problem in Nevada here. Everybody came with the dark clouds over them today. You know, we've got 30 some months of job growth. You know, consumer confidence is up. You know, fundamentally, our economy problem is a demand problem. And that's what your car dealer was telling you. You know, when people are ready to buy and they feel a little more prepared to buy, they will, because there's pent-up demand. So,
address Mike's point here, which is a good point, which is that if you have people on 2 years of unemployment, and I don't know what the actual number is, but you're saying it's around
$10.
Yeah, but you're saying about $10 an hour.
Yep. $400.
That's above the minimum wage in Nevada.
Right.
Well, the federal government has spent over $500 billion on unemployment in the last 5 years, so that's really a big deficit.
There are a lot of middle-income jobs, and even good jobs, that went away. And, you know, is the solution to that to make us all Walmart greeters? And that's a legitimate question. I mean, I don't think anybody's really hot and excited about being on unemployment. That's not a good place to be. And, you know, this construction that somehow everybody's living the good life on the public dole is an interesting construction, but I just don't think it's reality.
You know, but you know, your point here, you know, if you look at it from another direction, you know, if you talk to people in agriculture, they say that if you get Americans to take these jobs, mm-hmm. they last a day. They can't do the work.
Yeah,
we're a little lazy. We're not prepared to do the work that others that are more hungry are prepared to do. And taking if somebody has the choice between $10 and sitting home and $10 and getting
the
job.
And we all know certain people that have done that. And then we move on to, and we're all over the place this morning, sorry. And then you look at, you're right. A lot of Americans do not want to take those jobs, and then we have not addressed the illegal immigration problem of some of the people that do want to come in and take those jobs. So the whole working the nation up again is a multifaceted approach.
You know, if I could wander back to the first topic and Mike's point there, you know, it's a very difficult thing to get a comprehensive plan agreed to, and that's really kind of our issue. You can, the president, I think, is on the right track talking about a balanced approach, and there's some reality about that, and Mike pointed that out. And if you're saying, well, no, we're only going to work whacking back expenses, you know, that wasn't wasn't going anywhere in the political sphere. It just wasn't. And now the conversation's opening up a little bit more. It's the public speaking, it's the election, it's the reality creeping in that, hey, we need a balanced approach. And the balanced approach is the only one that doesn't make it an absolute painful shot to the head with a baseball bat that it would be if you did it all at once. And so, you know, it's going to be, it needs to be a multi-year plan. It needs to be a balanced plan.
But it can't be a 25-year plan.
No, it can't.
I agree.
Ultimately, when you look at people's confidence in our economy, the 25-year plan builds so much more debt that's so sensitive to interest rate fluctuations, it just makes us more vulnerable. So the less debt we take on as we're right-sizing our government and right-sizing our tax base again is going to leave us in a stronger position.
But both Simpson-Bowles and David Walker's plan both stretch it out over that period of time.
Well, and I will just tell you, it's going, you know, Japan learned this. You know, we should just learn from Japan's mistakes. They had a lot of government intervention, a lot of debt that they piled up, high taxes, and their economy was in just nowhere for a long time, and so they're finally coming around. They lowered their tax rates, they're starting to get the economy moving again. We just have to learn from that example.
Well,
stretching it out is not going to happen.
Jerry O'Driscoll's actually written an article about how we should just fall off the fiscal cliff, because then that would cut spending tremendously and sort of just put us back on a level playing field. Because unless we look at the structural, if we don't look at corporate income tax and what that does to discourage business in America, there are some things that we have got to address.
If we go over the fiscal cliff, I mean, there will be riots in the streets.
It won't be pretty.
We'll be right back after this.
Feel like you're stuck in a bureaucratic system? Time to talk to the right people. David Allen and Associates. I'm David Allen.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
I'm pleased with their work, and I like their employees, and also the price is right.
I would recommend Evergreen Carpet Cleaning because they're courteous, they're kind, they're professional, and they're very inexpensive.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's Forever Evergreen.
Every 3 months, 250,000 new families enter into foreclosure, and one in every 200 homes will be foreclosed on. These people are scared and embarrassed of their situation because they don't know what to do or where they can turn. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you don't have to be one of these statistics. You can save your home starting today, but you need to call now. If you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied for a loan modification, missed a payment on your mortgage, been a victim of a predatory loan, you're upside down on your mortgage, or you lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, call Allied State Foreclosure Services now. With one simple phone call, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Allied State Foreclosure Services works with licensed attorneys in your area. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. You've worked hard to afford your home and build your life with your family. Let us work to help keep your home and way of life by picking up the phone and dialing the number on your screen. Call now before it's too late.
Increase the quality of your life and the quantity of your years. Learn more about the risk factors for diabetes and ways you can increase your odds of a healthy future.
As always, you watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Well, he's got a busy week next week. We've got Howard Rosenberg, who's now on the school board, Ty Cobb, and Senator Ben Kiekeffer.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.